How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled.
All right, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. This is the third in a series on the attributes of God, and right now we're covering his incommunicable attributes, and today we are going to talk about the omniscience of God. And I find it amazing how much of God's nature we take for granted. We can't see him, but yet he is ever-present and ever-knowing. Our day-to-day business is often conducted with no thought of God's omniscience. That is, he knows all. In fact, he knows everything that goes on in our daily lives, and more often than not, we live without acknowledging this fact. There's something to be said about cultivating a healthy fear and reverence of God, and to develop this, one must gain an understanding of his nature. When I started this series, it was with the intent to get more folks interested in the study of the God of the Bible, because I believe that it will change the way we live for him. David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote in Psalm 139, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. In my opinion, a good study of this psalm will help maintain a proper awareness of the presence of God and his knowledge of his creatures. God help us all as we seek a more comprehensive understanding of him. May we learn through these studies and through our personal study of the Bible to draw closer to a God who loves us and cares for us, and unlike the failings of finite man, knows us through and through, not just by name, but as dear children. Now, what is the omniscience of God? What does that mean? That's one of those words you don't see in the Bible, but it is clearly taught throughout the Bible, like the word Trinity, or like the word sovereignty, or the word Bible. Omnipresence is another one, and so on. The word omniscience breaks down in the Latin omni, meaning all directional, and science, meaning knowledge. So in short, what it means is having all knowledge. God has all around knowledge. He knows the past, present, and future. He knows all things concerning creation, concerning man. He knows the heart of man. He's not taken by surprise. He's not trying to catch up. All things are before him, and he is before all things. God's omniscience means that he is not restricted in any way, shape, or form by temporal things or by his creation. God knows our deepest heartfelt desires, our hurts, our cares, our hopes. He knows if we regard iniquity in our hearts and whether or not we are genuine. John Owen gives a great definition of God's omniscience. He says this, and I quote, he sees inside of all and what men are there that they are to him. He sees not as we see, but ponders the hidden man of the heart. No humble, broken, contrite soul shall lose one sigh or groan after him and communion with him. No part of love or desire is hid from him. He sees in secret. No glorious performance of the most glorious hypocrite will avail with him. His eyes look through all, and the filth of their hearts lies naked before him. Thomas Watson, the Lord is a God of knowledge, or as the Hebrew word is, a God of knowledges. He has a full idea and cognizance of all things. The world is to him a transparent body. He makes a heart anatomy. I am he who searches the thoughts and the heart. The clouds are no canopy. The night is no curtain to draw between us and his sight. Even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are both alike to you. There are some opposing viewpoints to the omniscience of God. And it's important for us to kind of at least be aware of these in the event that you might run into it someday. And one of those viewpoints is a system called Socinianism or open theism. Now, there are many heretical issues with this group, and here are a couple. They held to a belief that all biblical doctrinal truths must be understood under the umbrella of reason. In other words, certain doctrines, like the Trinity, must be fully understood within the framework of our reason. Number two, they denied that Christ appeased the wrath of God and died as a substitute on the cross. They believed he merely died as an example. It was believed this would motivate us to forsake sin. And they also deny that God is omniscient. Now, taking those things into consideration, I'm sure that at some point in time, you've probably run into somebody that would deny that. And the Bible is pretty clear as you read through that nothing catches God by surprise. He's not trying to play catch up. He's not caught off guard. God knows everything. Everything is before God, and he knows the past, present, and the future. Now, what is the scriptural support for this? Well, Psalm 139, verses 1 to 2 says this, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." Job 37:16. "Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge?" Proverbs 5, verse 21, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." In showing deity, I wanted to include some references here to the omniscience of Christ. In John chapter 13, verse number 11, Jesus knew who would betray him. In John chapter 16, verse number 30, the disciples acknowledged that Jesus knew all things and that he came from God. In Luke 22, verse 34, Jesus knew that Peter would deny him before the cock crowed three times. In John 21, verse 17, Peter acknowledged the omniscience of Christ. In Revelation 2, verse 23, Jesus searches the reins and the hearts. At the end of the day, what does this mean to the believer? What does this mean to you and I? Well, first of all, God has perfect knowledge of all his children. There isn't a moment that goes by where he is not present and aware of what's going on in our lives and hearts. He knows your thoughts, according to Psalm 94, verse 11. He knows your afflictions, according to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. He knows your words and actions, according to Psalm 139, 4. God's omniscience is a comfort in that we know that he will not forget our prayers. In fact, because of his omniscience, he knows what we are going to ask before we even ask. God's omniscience is a comfort because he knows what we need before we even ask. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 32. God's omniscience is a comfort in that he knows when you are struggling, fearful, and even doubting, and is ever available to comfort us and give us assurance. Like our children, our Father in heaven never lets us out of his sight. God's omniscience gives us comfort because he knows what's best for his children. God's omniscience is encouraging because he knows all of his children by name, and not one of them will ever be left behind. Now, that's what it means for the believer. But what about the unregenerate? Arthur Pink says this, "Men would strip deity of his omniscience if they could. What a proof that the carnal mind is enmity against God. The wicked do as naturally hate this divine perfection as much as they are naturally compelled to acknowledge it. They wish there might be no witness of their sins, no searcher of their hearts, no judge of their deeds. They seek to banish such a God from their thoughts." Jonathan Edwards said this in his sermon, "Man Naturally, God's Enemy." He stated that there are five reasons why the natural man hates God. Number one, God's holiness. We are not holy. God's omniscience. He knows we are not holy. God's omnipotence, because this offends our autonomy. God's mercy, because it is a holy mercy. God's immutability, because God will never be less than what he is. The public witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ is even more important in this day and age than ever before. By doing this, we keep a holy God before men, men who are trying to temper the blows from the Holy Spirit through the written word. Because of God's omniscience, nothing will escape his judgment. Romans chapter 2, verse 2, verse 3, and verse 6, and of course Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Because of God's omniscience, no sin will go unnoticed. No idle word, no wickedness, no vile-heartedness will go unchecked with God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a spiritual death and there's a physical death. And while the natural unregenerate man continues to rebel against God, to try and stamp out any vestige of Christianity in America or in the world for that matter, nothing gets by God. He knows all things. And someday the unregenerate man's going to stand before God and have to give an account for his deeds and all that he said and did to oppose Christ, to oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ, all that he did to profane and blaspheme the things of God will be brought to his attention, as God has a great memory. Make sure you check us out at the next podcast as we continue our series on the incommunicable attributes of God. Take care.